The following content is rated explicit for language in adult situations.
So listen with headphones.
Or don't. We don't judge.
Have you ever wished that your world had more magic?
Or that your favorite character had survived?
How about a full-length spin-off of your favorite childhood series?
Then do we have a podcast for you?
Hello, Fire Whiskers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Kat.
And this is Fire Whiskey and Honey, the podcast about your favorite novel-length Potter fan fiction.
The Debt of Time.
Each episode, we read a chapter of this story.
And try to stay on topic.
Which is easier said than done.
Without further ado, here's this week's chapter of The Debt of Time.
Ahoy.
What, am I on a ship?
No.
Nope, that is actually how you say hello in Slovak. It is A-H-O-J when translated to the Latin alphabet. Y'all are Germanic alphabet? Latin alphabet. No, Latin numeral system.
Arabic numerals.
Arab, that's what it is. I was like, no, something. We're a Germanic-based language. We're not a Latin-based language, although we do pull from Latin and Greek. But yes.
That's just because English likes to rummage in other languages' pockets and back alleys.
I just want to make it very clear. I listened to this like 4 times, and it's ahoy. So, I'm very excited to say hi in Slovak today. Oh my god, I was like hiccuping while I'm saying that. Oh, this is going to be a fun one because I have the hiccups today. And burping. I have the hiccup burps. It's bad. But ahoy, Kat.
All aboard. Let's go, Captain.
I apologize to all of my Czechoslovakian relatives. And I do get to say Czechoslovakian because they all left that area before it became Czech Republic and Slovak. Or Slovakia, Slovak. Ha, that's the culture and the people. That's not the country. Slovakia. There we go. But yes. Ahoy. That's so much fun. I'm glad I looked that up. Thanks, Hannah.
So it's Chips Hello?
No, you do not insult the cookies. Or the people. Mainly Chips the people. Hello. The people. Okay.
Or is it Hello Chips?
Wait, now I want to look up, like, the ship version of ahoy with an H. And, like, what's the origin? Why does this turn into a language podcast every time we do this?
Every time. I don't know, but it's fun. Also, for those of you who don't have the beauty of Nabisco cookies, or maybe don't have all of the American Nabisco cookies, Chips Ahoy is America's favorite mass-produced chocolate chip cookie. A very close cousin of the Oreo.
But sorely less good.
Yeah, significantly less good. Much better as a child. Terrible as an adult. Although the chewy ones were my favorite.
I like Famous Amos better, personally.
Oh, fuck me up, Famous Amos. Famous Amos actually is a real person. Unfortunately, he sold his cookies and his name to the company that now produces them and is no longer allowed to make his Famous Amos cookies and tried to make a comeback on Shark Tank.
Ahoy is Dutch?
That would make sense. Those are very close by areas. They all kind of pull from each other's languages.
Well, and it's all of, they were Dutch seafarers, which there was a lot of those because, you know, it's all surrounded by water.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Sorry.
Yes. No, it's fine. We educate our listeners every single week. I did see a post the other day, though, and it was asking, it was like, how many boyfriends do you need to get the proper level of attention that you need? And I was like, I don't need boyfriends. I just need a podcast.
That's the most millennial bullshit I've ever heard in my whole life.
Yeah. Anyway. Hi, Kat. Ahoy.
Hi.
I'm going to keep saying that. It's fun.
I see.
So, ooh, speaking of ices, they're building a 7-Eleven like 3 minutes away from my house. Slurpees all day.
There's a shaved ice place next to my house that I discovered has a butterbeer flavored shaved ice that is so good.
I'm just mad though because Kat still has McDuffie's.
Ha 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 ha.
McDuffie's was my favorite. I used to ditch high school. I wouldn't say I ditched high school. I was homeschooled, so I was technically only at QS High School for like 2 periods a day. But English and band, because, you know, that wasn't super nerdy or anything. But during my period break, if the boyfriend I was dating at the time was not hanging out in Key West, I'd just go over to the beach, which was a block away from our high school, because, you know, island life. And I would grab McDuffie's, usually the coconut version. Sometimes the lemon lime, but that one would give me away because then would dye the inside of my mouth green, and I don't like my mouth being dyed colors. Anyway, I would sit there, and I would eat my icy, and I would do homework.
Well, there was the time we got french fries and were very rude to sunbathers, but that was so funny and so worth it.
They were being see you next Tuesdays, and I am just rude and judgmental about every other girl on the beach, giving people crap about, ugh, I wouldn't wear that bikini if I had an ass that size. So I slowly fed more and more seagulls from my clam strips and fry basket to the point where the seagulls were expecting us to feed them french fries. And so at this point, I've probably got a gaggle of about 30 seagulls, and Kat and I decided to continue walking down the beach, and we happened to pass Little Miss Judgmental, who decided that there was a certain weight limit to bikinis on this beach, and I may or may not have thrown the rest of my fries at her feet. I'm not sorry. It is probably the most petty thing I ever did in my life. But speaking of pregnancy side effects, this is a very exciting episode because this is coming out on Friday, May 28th, I believe.
Yes, correct.
And I am due May 30th. So if I haven't had my baby yet, I should be having them basically any day now. I am 40 weeks pregnant.
I really hope he comes on your dad's birthday. You cannot take another thing away from me.
Would laugh my ass off.
I would be
so for those of you who are not aware, I got married on Kat's birthday, and my child is due the day before the birthday of the Dark Wizard. So I do think it would be hilarious to steal both of your birthdays. Because that would just make me laugh.
I think really it would be hard. Cuter if he was born on your dad's birthday. Let's do that. Hey, baby, this is your auntie talking. Will you please be not born on the Dark Wizard's birthday? Your grandpa loves you very much, and he wants you to
have his birthday. If it makes you feel better, I am trying to keep my legs crossed so he doesn't get here until June. And the reason is very, very stupid. But my birthstone is aquamarine. Jimmy's is...
I was saying, it's because you want dumb... It's a birthstone reason, isn't it?
It's a birthstone reason. I have aquamarine. Jimmy has amethyst. Those two aren't really the best combo. It's like pale blue and purple. So it's very like, you know... It's not a bad combination, but it's not jewelry that I would wear terribly often. I am not going to combine that with an emerald because that's hideous. They do not go together. I mean, I'm sure there is a way that you could make it work, but like I have tried, and all of the birthstone rings that I have built for my little family of three look fucking gross. However, June is alexandrite and moonstone, both of which look significantly better with amethyst and aquamarine. And the alexandrite actually kind of like brings them together because it's got like, in certain light it looks purple, in certain light it looks blue, so it's like perfect and it brings them together and it just makes such a pretty ring. But if he is born in May, I'll just switch to getting the necklace that has the birth flowers because they all look very pretty together.
Ay, Jesus.
I'm just laughing because, like, amethyst is my birthstone, aquamarine is my sister's, and May is my mom's, so annoyed. My mom has jewelry with all three of those, so...
You know, as soon as I said it, I was like, somebody's going to have this, and they're going to be really insulted. And it's you. It is literally you.
I'm not insulted. I just think it's funny. Because, like,
Ooh. But my mom has a bracelet with emeralds in it. See? And if I had a baby born in May, I could use that to convince my sister that I deserve that bracelet.
Good luck. May the odds be ever in your favor.
Oh my god, we have to fucking read. We haven't even done what had happened was. Enough procrastination. Well, Kat, what had happened was.
What had happened was. All I'm saying is that we would make a killing at like a podcast about nothing. That's all I'm saying. I know I say that all the time, but we would kill at that. I'm just saying. Anyways, what had happened was. So. Remus knows things now, which is pretty much like a shocker to him, but it's like if you would just learn Occlumency, you would have known this like a million chapters ago, but whatever.
But he
dude.
Doesn't need it because he's got a wolf brain.
Yeah, that is true. I keep forgetting about the wolf brain. But, so he knows things now, so then Maya's pretty much asking Dumbledore, like, well, can't you just do something so I can like tell him things and like answer his questions, and Dumbledore's like, no, I cannot. Sorry.
That's great.
I had to do that.
That's beautiful.
A plus. Because I saw a thing the other day where it was like Jude Law for Fantastic Beasts and like the first Dumbledore, and they were like, I just want to know when he went from like three-piece suits to like dressing in like robes with beads and stuff and looking like a straight-up hippie. Like, I just want to know like how that evolution happened.
Especially because we see him in the robes and beads in Chamber of Secrets as a young Dumbledore, which is only about 20 years after Fantastic Beasts, so like it was a pretty quick changeover. 2030? Yeah, there we go. Hinnabeth's like making faces at me.
Oh no, that's not what I'm making faces at. But now I'm trying to do the math. It's only like 8 years between.
Oh Jesus, is it? Well, no, because I thought Fantastic Beasts was in like the 20s.
It's in the late 20s though.
Okay, and then well, because Chamber of Secrets is like what, 43, 47? Also, my husband was like, why is Hannah Beth like recording with you guys? Like, no judgment, but like, why did she join? And I'm like, because she researches shit for us while we're recording so we don't have to.
So he went to meet young Tom Riddle in 1938. So it's 11 years from when you meet Jude Law.
I was talking about like Chamber of Secrets when we see him standing at the top of the stairs, not Deathly Hallows, because I think he is in a suit in Deathly Hallows when we do the Pensieve, or sorry, Half-Blood Prince, when we do the flashback.
No, he's in the full-blown robes with the Michael Gambon full really? Get-up. Yep.
Well, no, because he has shorter hair and I don't think his beard's as long because he was amongst muggles. I'm telling you right now, I think he was in a suit. He didn't look quite as snappy as Jude Law did, but man, did he age. But anyway, sorry, continue.
Anyway, the dead of time. What had happened?
Hold please while I share my screen. Oh, no, you disabled it.
I did. I don't know how to understand.
Okay,
it.
He's in a suit, but he definitely looks like he's aged
exponentially in 8 years.
He has a beard and he has shoulder length hair, but he looks 30 years older. easy 30.
Fine. The author who shall not be named is terrible at time jumps and all that kind of shit anyway, so. But anyway, what had happened was, continue. Kat's making a face. Oh my
okay.
God, I just saw that.
So she's trying to ask Dumbledore if he can do anything so she can tell Remus more stuff, and he's just like, straight up, no. So then she starts feeling all guilty about hiding things from Remus, and then she's like, can you forgive me, and all of that stuff, because, like, obviously it's not her fault. And then, like, there was some confusing things to me, at least, because I'm not good at flashbacks, but apparently we flashed back a lot in this chapter, because the italicizing is, like, out of this world.
They went into the Pensieve.
Okay.
So that she could show off her memories.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because of his brain or whatever. Okay, yep. So she pretty much showed him off all of her memories and everything, and then he was like, oh, who's Harry? Who's this? What is James and Lily like? Like, what a blah, 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 blah. So that was interesting. And then at the end, Shia stabbed us all in the heart and said, okay, well, Lily's parents have died. And you're just like, say what now?
Yes.
Like, you just killed Doria, and now you're going to kill, like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So, I think one of the big things that we got from the last chapter, though, was because Maya had given him the letter that older Remus gave to Hermione, right? And it says, live your life, love your life. Remus thinks it's hilarious that
live your life, enjoy your life. It's not live your life,
I know, it's not live, laugh, love. I'm sorry. I always fuck that up.
This is not a Rihanna song. Jeez.
So live your life. Yeah,
we're not paying for that. We don't have that kind of money.
It's okay. I sing it so terribly that I don't think any bot could ever pick it up.
We could sing Happy Birthday, though. That's free.
That is free now. There is no copyright against Happy Birthday anymore, which is lovely. I do like the fact that we existed in a world where there was still a copyright against Happy Birthday, though.
Does that mean that terrible restaurant Happy Birthday songs can go away now? Because please, for the love of God.
Yeah, you would think so, but I think they're just ingrained in the culture now. But one of my favorite parts, though, of last chapter is in the letter, Remus says that at some point in the past, he will have promised to send Hermione back so that she can become Maya. And Maya says, okay, well, that's happening right now. This is me telling you, I need to come back. I need to grow up with you. I need to be Jamie's sister. I need to be your best friend. I need to be Sirius's girlfriend. I need to experience this life. Please, 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 please send me back. And so that is very important. And there's no real like start point for this inevitable loop of Hermione is born, Hermione grows up, Hermione goes into the past, Hermione becomes Maya, Maya grows up, and then it all fucking repeats, right? Because eventually it'll hit 1979 again, and Hermione will be born again, and voila, time is an endless loop. So, this, I like to think, is the starting point. Because this is where she sets everything in motion and says, send me back. So that's why I really like last chapter. But.
Oh, by the way, this has nothing to do with anything. I just want to tell you before I forget. I finally saw Endgame, so I'm good. Well, the time travel thing, like, sparked the thought because they have the time travel to get the thingies. And then Stark is like, you're basing all of this off of Back to the Future. Like, really? But, yeah. So I know now.
Yeah, I started watching all of the Marvel movies in order. I think I stopped at Ant-Man.
Yeah, it all makes so much more sense when you watch them in order.
Yeah, release order. Timeline order.
Yeah, it makes so much sense.
Yes, but.
And by the way, the subtitle thing where you put the subtitles on to try to see what Groot says in English doesn't work, so don't do it.
No, he just says, I'm Groot.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No, that's not a thing. It doesn't translate.
No, it's not. It does not.
But anyway.
Lies.
I did like people who put in artificial captions for R2-D2. That's always my favorite. But anyway, it is time to move on to Chapter 78, Muggles and Maps. March 30th, 1978. Harold and Astor Evans died in a car accident in their home of Cokeworth. The couple had been driving away from their home when the car veered off the road and into a telephone pole. Muggle police could find no signs of the car braking, no skid marks on the road, nor sign of any other cars involved.
Voldemort.
Possibly not wrong. Neither of the Evans parents had been found to be intoxicated in any way, nor under the influence of any kind. Not any kind that could be traced to Muggles, that is. The only silver lining was that the accident report indicated Lily's parents had passed away almost immediately, and they did not suffer. Lily had been understandably devastated. Professor Dumbledore allowed Maya to accompany her through his flue, which had been connected to a squib acquaintance who lived in Surrey. The kindly old woman, whom Maya knew from her former timeline as Mrs. Fig, greeted them on the other end of the fireplace and offered her the use of her telephone so Lily could get in touch with Petunia and Vernon Dursley. Lily's sister assured her that the funeral arrangements were being taken care of, though was also quick to point out the financial stress it would put on her and her new husband, but that Lily need have nothing to worry for since Petunia would handle it all. The witches returned to Hogwarts, and Lily was dismissed from her classes to be doted upon by James, who refused to abandon her in her grief. Whether it was prefect and head boy and girl privileges, or because Dumbledore had a soft spot for the Gryffindors, the headmaster allowed Maya and the others to accompany Lily to her parents' funeral as emotional support pillars. Maya took it upon herself to make sure the purebloods were all dressed appropriately in muggle attire, transfiguring their dress robes into long black overcoats and charming their trousers and dresses all black. Only Sirius looked out of place, one glimpse of the man in formal attire, and Lily actually laughed out loud for the first time since she had received word of her parents' deaths. She immediately pleaded with him to put on his jeans and leather jacket. They all arrived at the apparition point in Cokeworth and made their way to the small cemetery where Petunia had instructed Lily to be. There were no speeches or stories, few flowers, and even fewer people in attendance, just a simple minister who said a short prayer over the double plot, and then it was all done and over with. "I'm going to go and say hello to my sister." Lily smiled sadly at her friends, who nodded, agreeing to wait to see what the plans would be for the Evans sisters before making any of their own to return to Hogwarts. As she walked away, Maya narrowed her gaze at Vernon and Petunia Dursley and muttered, "Ears up, gents," to Sirius, James, Peter, and Remus. Lily approached Petunia, who was just as red-eyed as her younger sister, though she wore a much harder expression on her face, even when Lily wrapped her arms around her and pulled her into a tight hug. "Thank you for taking care of everything. I know Mom and Dad had money saved up just in case, but I'm aware arranging this came at a personal financial loss to you both. Once I'm out of school, I plan on paying you back for what would have been my share." Vernon snorted at the sentiment, as though it were an outright lie. Hearing the noise, Sirius scoffed and stepped forward, only to be held back by both James and Remus, and hushed by Maya when he opened his mouth to protest. "It's fine, Lily," Petunia responded shortly. "There's no need." "We can talk about it another time," Lily said, pushing the subject aside. I was thinking maybe we could go back to the house and sit and visit a while. My headmaster gave me the entire day off of classes, and I feel like it's been forever since we've spoken."
"We are going home," Vernon insisted.
"You can't go to Mom and Dad's instead?" Lily asked, clearly trying to reason with the stubborn and miserable man.
"We can't go there because, well," Petunia hesitated, "the house no longer belongs to us. At least, not entirely."
"What do you mean? It's still our home just because Mom and Dad are gone. It doesn't make it any less home for us."
"Actually, Vernon and I had planned on selling it. Signed a contract this morning to a company that's looking to buy out the whole neighborhood, actually,"
Petunia explained, refusing to make eye contact.
"Oh, no," Maya muttered. "Should we..." James began, ready to assist his girlfriend, but Maya held him back, hoping that perhaps the sisters could work out whatever problem there was, without interference. She knew Vernon would not appreciate any of them stepping in to assist Lily. It only served to further estrange the sisters.
"You're selling the house?" Lily snapped, her voice near a screech. "Petunia, how could you?" "It was left to me and Vernon, and we've already moved to Surrey." Petunia narrowed her swollen eyes. "We've no need of an extra house to take care of, especially one so old, and in Cokeworth, no less."
"You're from Cokeworth, so don't turn your nose up, Tuny. That was our home. We grew up there," Lily cried.
"I grew up there," Petunia said bitterly. "That hasn't been your home since you left to that freak school of yours."
Lily ignored the insult entirely, evidently in favor of pressing her luck to find out more information on her childhood home.
Why did Mum and Dad leave it just to you? That doesn't make sense. The last time they changed their wills, you were still underaged, I suppose. Petunia shrugged her bony shoulders. Goodness, I can't believe you brought those people with you. She glared over Lily's shoulder as Sirius lit a cigarette with a muggle lighter, immediately drawing the attention of Frank and Mary, who were staring wide-eyed at the fire-starting device. Put it away, Maya muttered to him. They're my friends, and they came to support me, Lily defended, clearly more upset that Petunia was now ignoring her. If you've sold the house, where are my things? Boxed up and ready for you to take them back to wherever you want. Wherever I want. Right, because I just happened to have an extra house lying around, Lily screamed, and the ends of her hair started sparking. James took the initiative, bypassing Maya to approach his emotionally overwrought girlfriend. I graduate in a few months. What am I supposed to do? Lily asked Petunia, who briefly showed a hint of concern, but covered it up all too quickly with indifference. Where am I supposed to go? You're my sister! How dare you raise your voice to my wife! Vernon stepped forward and glared down at Lily with disgust. Don't you know she suffered through the deaths of her beloved parents?
Muggle, please.
Yeah, because apparently they weren't Lily's parents, only Petunia's.
Yeah, well, what is Petunia's issue? Is she just jealous because she doesn't have magic? Like, what is her...
Yeah, that's actually... And again...
Nailed it in one.
Nailed it in one. Yeah, this is something they explain way better in the books than they do in the movies, but... Petunia had actually written to Dumbledore to say, hey, I want to go to Hogwarts too, let me in. And they wrote back saying, sorry, can't. You're not magical. And so that was sort of where Petunia started to get really upset about the whole thing.
Yeah, but were their parents magical or no?
No. She's okay. Muggle-born. So right. The assumption is that somewhere far up on the ancestry line... one or both of them had magical blood, and it just so happened to appear in Lily.
And you can't train a muggle to be... No.
It's like me telling you to train yourself to have brown eyes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Maya felt Sirius's arm slip around her waist to hold her back, muttering under his breath about how she needed to let James handle this. They were my parents too, you... You, Lily began, shaking with rage. You filthy muggle!
Yeah! Say it with your chest!
Lily, James reached her, pulling the witch into his arms. Calm down, love. Vernon glowered at the intimate embrace. And who is this? James Potter. James answered as he turned and extended a hand to the thick-chested man, who looked like he hoped to help salvage Lily and Petunia's relationship by being as polite as possible to what was a very large obstacle. I'm Lily's boyfriend.
Potter!
Vernon snorted at the name and stared at James's hand, making no move to shake it.
You're one of those, aren't you?
A good person? Yes, I can see how you'd struggle... to know one of them.
I have a question.
Hmm.
I think I've probably asked this before, probably. But I can't remember. And if I know the answer, I don't remember. So obviously it seems like Lily and Petunia don't get along, right? Like, they seem to, like, really hate each other. So why in the world would she and Vernon raise Harry if she didn't really like her sister? Like, they could have just given him to an orphanage, or was there some kind of, like, magical contract thing where it was like, why?
This, and it is 100% a magical contract. It was Dumbledore. So, when...
This is covered in book 3. Just let it happen.
Is it?
Okay.
Is it?
It's covered in the book.
Okay.
And it follows canon.
Okay.
So,
okay.
This
will get explained. It was explained in the canonical books.
Yeah, it was. But I'm just saying, this goes into a little bit more detail of it happening. So just
even better.
just let it. It's
okay, so we'll let it happen. But yes, there was a magical contract. She did have to raise Harry. She didn't have a choice. She was not allowed
to. Yeah, because I was just like, if you hate her that much, just give the kid to somebody else who will love him more than you. Like,
this is also why when Harry tried to leave in book 5, Petunia got a howler.
Yeah. Is that in, I don't think that's in the movie.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not. Okay.
I don't
know. It was one that I was fucking pissed that it wasn't, because I was like,
it was a huge
plot point in the book, and Petunia remember my last, and like the fact that I still remember that.
So it was the contract thing, kind of like if you give Harry up, then like I play your house or something like that. Like, was it like
it
that
was a
magic?
It was a magical bond, just like other kinds of bonds. There was a magical bond connection.
So if they gave him up, they would like die or something?
It was for Harry's protection because they are related to Lily.
Oh, okay.
It will fall into place more. It does explain it more thoroughly kind of towards the end of book 2, into book 3. So like you'll get some info.
Okay, I was just wondering because it's just like, you seem to really hate her, so why would you raise her kid? Like, that just doesn't make any sense, but okay.
Vernon sneered and stepped forward as though he were preparing for a physical altercation. "Now you listen here, you freakish!" Maya snarled, and Sirius stuck his cigarette in his mouth, using both free hands to hoist her over his shoulder. "Mary, get her wand," he muttered to the blonde witch, who followed suit, snagging Maya's wand from her pocket. When Maya struggled in his grip, Sirius gave her a good swat on the arse, drawing attention. Petunia looked scandalized, but Lily actually looked amused. Despite not wanting her brother to get in trouble, Maya had seen the aftermath of what had happened when James went after his own friends in a minor brawl, and could only imagine what he would do to a man like Vernon Dursley. Hashtag stabbed by a stag. Oh, come on, stabbed by a stag! It's funny. Thank you. PTSD from antlers. Let's go. Anyway.
Are you allowed to say that?
PTSD by antlers? Yeah.
Okay. I just thought that people who actually have that hated when people casually use it. It
depends on the people. Like, certain kinds, absolutely. Ooh, my camera's really
acting
weird. That
was weird.
There are certain.
FBI is hacking our video
feed. Yeah, no kidding. For those of you who can't see us right now, my video keeps blipping in and out.
It kind of looks like the rain on the map. When they're doing the weather on TV, it's got like that green, like.
Yes.
Also, like every spy movie you've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it just depends on the person who has PTSD, but we can call it antler trauma if that's better, because that's a little more common
of
a phrase.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Traumatized via antler. Oh, that sounds like it could have gone in a terrible place. Now I'm just imagining one going up Sirius's ass. Anyway, you did what to my sister? Anyway, we're done.
But did she like it?
You broke Hannah Beth. I can hear Jesse crying from here.
Why do I sign up for this to show up and listen? Why do I come?
Because we're hilarious.
Hannah Beth is like, I signed up to edit. I did not sign up for this.
Nah, whatever.
So I went to take Max to get a bath the other day, and the lady was like, oh, you know, what kind of dog is he? I was like, well, he's Coonhound and he's Beagle, which you can tell just by smelling him. And he's got a little dash of pug in him. That's why he always looks so concerned. And she was like, oh, does he? I was like, yeah, he's got, you know, a wrinkle in the middle of his eyebrows, just like his mom. And she kind of laughed, and I was like, yeah, he kind of looks like your accountant on tax day. And she's like, you're hilarious. I'm going to tell my accountant that. You should be a comedian. And I'm like, well, funny story.
You told us that already.
Yeah, but I didn't tell the people.
You didn't tell me that either. Oh, she just told you.
Nobody cares.
Oh, Kat. No. You told me that when we tried to do trivia.
That's when I was like, I know I've told you this. But yes, no, it was when we tried to do trivia.
And all we got was chocolate from Belgium. But that's
but
even
yeah,
better
I was about
than
to
trivia.
Say, we tried to do like very last minute trivia. And of
oh,
course,
no,
this is...
I saw. I was on the golf course. I was like, I
not
did not
Deuces.
That sounds like it was super posh. We were on a public course. I was driving the cart for my husband to play.
Fun, fun. I kind of wish Jimmy would play, just so I could drive the golf cart. But anyway.
When I wasn't pregnant, we used to just drink a fuck ton of mimosas while driving the cart, which, excellent choices.
But we did have a wonderful one-on-one with Mila, and she promised to send us sampler packs from her chocolate shop in Belgium. So, like, who's the real winner here? Also, there was something about chocolate and liquor being inside of it, and now I really want those because I haven't had those in
forever. Oh, they sell those at the Irish Festival here with Irish whiskey inside of it, and holy shit. I got really, really drunk off of them one time because they're made with whiskey, and then they're filled with whiskey.
Mm-hmm. My parents definitely forgot about a box, and by the time they found it, all the liquor had like dried up inside of the chocolate, so it was just in the chocolate, and they were like, these are no fun to eat, and I was like 18 and I was like, yes they are. That's where I fell in love with Cointreau. So good.
Cointreau.
Anyway, the dead of time. Despite not wanting her brother to get in trouble, Maya had seen the aftermath of what had happened when James went after his own friends in a minor brawl and could only imagine what he would do to a man like Vernon Dursley, who he would have no desire to apologize to after hitting him. Before anyone took to violence, however, Remus stepped between James and Vernon, much to the displeasure of both men, who were apparently trying to one-up the other merely by height. James had Vernon on that angle, though anyone would be lying if they denied that Vernon had James beat when it came to width. "Everyone, calm down," Remus ordered quietly, putting a gentle hand on James's shoulder.
"I don't take orders from riffraff like you,"
Vernon spat towards Remus, his face beginning to turn a shade of purple. His look of disgust only increased when he got a good up-close look at the scars on Remus's face.
"Mate," Remus said, looking directly at Vernon, "I'm your best friend right now, because I'm currently keeping my friends over there from coming over here and introducing themselves."
He gestured to the group of witches and wizards, who were all glaring at the man from where they stood, but none likely looked more menacing than Maya and Sirius. Even hanging over her boyfriend's shoulder, Maya felt like she was a hair's breadth away from shifting into Animagus form and mauling the muggle.
"Upsetting Lily has not won either of you any good marks," Remus added, glancing to Petunia, who briefly looked ashamed of herself as she hid behind her husband. "One more step out of line, and I can promise it'll win you a trip to the hospital."
Vernon sputtered up at Remus.
"Are you threatening me?"
"Yes," Remus answered tersely.
I love that. "Are you threatening me?"
"Well, yes."
"Good job. You figured it out."
"Good for you."
"Mooney's got this," Sirius said with a chuckle, letting Maya slide off his shoulder, catching her with one arm before she fell to the ground.
Maya wondered if Remus's eyes had turned gold. She figured they must have caused Vernon to stumble over his next words because he hesitated and took a step back. Though still aggressively ignorant about the wizarding world that his sister-in-law had exposed him to unwillingly, he still apparently retained an iota of self-preservation. If he pressed the issue with Remus, he would deeply regret it.
"Where are my things?" Lily whispered through stifled sobs, her temper finally having calmed down only to give way to misery and grief once more.
"What?" James asked, still eyeing Vernon angrily.
"They sold my parents' house," Lily cried. I don't have a home."
"Yes, you do," Maya said loudly as she approached, casting a scathing look at Vernon and Petunia. "You'll come and live with the rest of us at the manor."
Saw that coming. That's like their version of the Weasleys.
I was actually thinking of the Grey's Anatomy house. Everybody lived here.
Wow. Yeah. Actually, Audrey brought up a good point to me the other day. She's like, Meredith has never lived alone. And I'm like, I know.
Well, when she first got the house.
No, she literally was living out of a suitcase in the pilot episode.
Yeah. And then she got roommates like that week. So.
Yeah. And then I'm like, yeah.
And
then
hooked
she
up with Derek. And then had roommates that week. And then she had kids. So she's never lived by herself.
She's never spent a night alone in that house.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. And now she has kids. And then when they go off to college, it's like, what am I supposed to do now? And also, if you didn't catch this, because I caught this, because I never caught this before, when Izzy's laying in bed with Denny, she goes, I'm here for you. And then when he comes and she has her tumor, he goes, I'm here for you, Izzy Stevens. Ha ha ha. Never put that together before.
Bruh. Bruh.
Because, like, she just didn't process it. She's like, I'm here for you. Okay, but...
Yeah, that messed me up.
It's just like, currently, the sand isn't real, Meredith. Okay, well, you're not listening, because that's going in this ear and out the other. Anyway, the dead of time. I'm hungry, too, and I already ate.
Manner. Vernon snorted and rolled his eyes. Maya glared in response, a part of her wanting to take him to Potter Manor, just then to show him. She wanted to kidnap the large muggle and drag him through the wizarding world by his neck rolls.
I forgot about that line. That is so aggressive.
She wanted to kidnap the large muggle and drag him through the wizarding world by his neck rolls, showing him Hogwarts and Gringotts, let him piss himself at the sight of Sirius's vault. Then, just for the hell of it, she would leave him to rot inside the drawing room of Malfoy Manor. No, Lily shook her head. I couldn't impose.
Lily, you belong with us.
That's for certain,
Vernon muttered under his breath.
Sirius,
James called over his shoulder. Sirius approached, looking imposing as ever, with his hands stuffed into the pockets of his leather jacket and a cigarette hanging from his lips. He inhaled, then blew smoke into Vernon's face without a care for the way the man choked in front of him.
You and Maya take Lily back to Hogwarts, James instructed, keeping his eye on Vernon the entire time. Remus and I will collect her things and have them sent home. I'll expect an address to where they're being kept, he insisted, before turning back to Maya. I'll let Dad know everything.
Merlin,
Sirius exclaimed in exasperation as the large group apparated just outside the school gates, waiting until one of the professors or Hagrid came to let them inside. Maya flipped her wand, letting a silvery fox rush away to alert the headmaster to their return.
Did we just meet the Malfoys of the Muggles? That Dursley is a right cunt.
Cat's eyebrows just shot up.
Do remember that the word cunt is used significantly more often in Great Britain than it is here. It is not considered as awful there as it is here.
Yeah, I get that.
It's also used for shock factor for that face that you just made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're awful, Maya agreed, snatching the new cigarette from Sirius's mouth, taking a drag from it before vanishing it with the wand that Mary had returned to her. Lily, I am so sorry you had to go through all that on top of everything else. I have lost everything. Lily let out a shaky exhale. Her normally bright green eyes were dim and no longer sparkled like emeralds in the light. She leant against the gates and slowly slid downward until she was sitting on the ground. My home. My family.
Your family is right here,
Sirius insisted, kneeling in front of her. Sirius is right. Mary said as she linked arms with Alice and knelt to Lily's side. Don't let it go to your head, Black. Turning her attention back to Lily, she reassured. We get to choose our families, and we've all chosen you, don't you know?
Exactly. In fact,
Sirius said with a thought, and quickly tapped his wand against the gold bracelet wrapped around his wrist. Maya knew that it was one of the two items he never removed under any circumstances, the other being the silver chain around his neck. He looked up at Maya, as though asking for approval, and she smiled sweetly down at him, understanding. Turning back to Lily, Sirius gently clasped the bracelet around her wrist, turning it so that she could see the house words engraved upon it. Lily protested. Sirius, no, this is expensive.
Wasn't even mine to begin with, he told her. So it's not like I spent money on it.
Maya smiled at her friend. Just an old heirloom we had lying around. Lily took a slow breath and looked down at the bracelet, her hand still held by Sirius. Animo et astutia? She read aloud. These are the words of House Potter.
By courage and craft, Maya gave these to me when I lost my own family, Sirius explained, though he kindly left out the rest of the detailed story about how he had shagged her rotten shortly thereafter. If such was a tradition after receiving a new bracelet, Maya was glad to leave it to her brother to handle later. She gave it to me when I became a part of the Potter family. Now it's your turn.
I'm not a Potter, Sirius. I can't accept this. Take it back.
Nope.
Maya? Nope.
Maya shook her head, cutting Lily off. I agree with Sirius. You're my sister. That makes you a Potter. Or maybe a Black, since Sirius is the one giving it to you. She laughed and knelt down opposite Mary and Alice, cocooning Lily between them all. Still standing, Frank put his arm around Peter's shoulders, both boys smiling at the scene. Besides, James will just fall to pieces when he sees you wearing it, Maya added with a mischievous grin, glad when Lily blushed. If anyone honors the words of our house, it's you. Courage and craft? Might as well say Lily Evans.
Do you remember what Sirius said when he gave Maya that bracelet, or Hermione that bracelet?
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, I know. Okay, so glad you said that. Anyway, Sirius said, if anyone honors the words of our House Potter, it's you. Or no, Harry said, if anyone honors the words of our house, it's you. Courage and craft, might as well say Hermione Granger.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I know you don't. But that was
said. It was like the second chapter, that's why. Or third chapter.
Well, no. It was right before she went back, because it was her 19th birthday present.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yes, so this is where... It's just kind of funny that he says that to Lily, because Harry is going to say that to Hermione in the future, having never heard this.
Dun, dun, dun.
So it's just kind of cute. Yeah, it's just kind of like... Again, these are the parallels that Shia pulls in the story that I love. And, it's my belly button. Oh, my God. Get your elbow out of it. Oh, my God. Oh, demon child, get out of me. Oh, my God. Oh, that was it. I'm fine, Max. Thank you for checking on me. Oh, okay. Yeah. Give it a sniff. Everything okay? Okay, good. Yeah. I'm okay. Okay.
He just came over. He's like, what's going on? Whew.
Ow. Hi. The miracle of pregnancy. It's magical. Every minute of it is straight magic and unicorns and happiness and sunshine and chocolate. I'm so fucking over it. Anyway.
It took an additional 5 minutes for Lily to stop arguing with Maya and Sirius, and even then, Alice and Mary had to intervene and try to pretend that Lily was offending pure blood tradition by refusing the bracelet. Maya, a muggle-born herself by birth, noted the lie and shook her head in disapproval. She wondered if Ron and Ginny had ever pulled something like that over her eyes. Once back inside Lily and James's common room, Sirius sat beside the redhead on the sofa, hugging her close to comfort her. Maya fixed hot chocolate in the small attached kitchen, not wanting to bother the house elves for it. It gave her something to do to keep occupied and not let her thoughts linger on the future where Petunia and Vernon Dursley still existed. Had they not already written themselves on Maya's shit list based on the way they treated Harry, they would have been added today for how they treated Lily.
"We've got everything taken care of," James announced as he and Remus walked through the portrait hole.
Sirius vacated the spot on the sofa, letting James take his place beside Lily with a tender smile.
"All of your things are now back at the manor, Lils. And I tried to stop her, but Tilly's already gone through half the first box. She's setting up an entire room for you. Hopefully, you like purple. It's the color I saw her charming the walls when we left."
Lily laughed and hugged James tight. "Thank you."
"What happened?"
Remus inquired, as he stood in the center of the room looking alert and nervous.
"What do you mean?" Maya asked as she approached, placing the tray of hot chocolate on the table in front of the sofa.
"We've just been here since getting back. Frank, Alice, Mary, and Peter headed back to the tower to change into normal robes."
Remus shook his head.
"Something's different. Something changed."
His nostrils flared and golden eyes settled on Lily.
"Are you..."
he began, then looked around the room curiously as though he were missing something important.
"What did we miss?" Just some girly bonding, Sirius teased, gesturing to Lily and Maya as he took his seat beside James on the sofa. I tried to convince these two to take their clothes off and have a pillow fight, but no one ever thinks to put my wants and needs first.
Ow!
He glared at James, who retracted a bald fist from Sirius's shoulder. It was a joke, you wanker. Sirius gave Lily the Potter bracelet that I gave him a few years ago, Maya gestured to Lily's hand, ignoring Sirius's depraved sense of humor. Is that all? Remus prompted, still on edge. I feel something. I can't explain it. Maya gasped, her eyes wide.
Oh!
What?
Familial bond! Sirius, you provoked a familial bond by giving Lily that bracelet, she said excitedly. That's what happened to me. I got the bracelet when I was first adopted, and it provoked a familial bond between me and Jamie and our parents. It's what made me a Potter.
Wait, I'm a Potter now? Lily paled as she looked at James with horror. Did I just become your sister? Oh, God. Oh, it's already weird that Maya and Sirius are basically second cousins.
Twice removed, Sirius said at the same time that Maya argued, I'm adopted.
You are most definitely not my sister, James insisted, but then looked to Maya to confirm, an edge of concern in his voice as he asked, right?
Well, not technically, Maya promised with a laugh at the look that Lily was giving her. I'm kidding. It's still an unsealed bond. To become a Potter, you'd have to either be officially adopted or...
Her gaze drifted to her nervous-looking brother, whose face was a lovely shade of vermilion.
Oh, Lily nodded thoughtfully, looking down at the bracelet. When she eventually understood Maya's words, her eyes briefly flickered to the blush on James's cheeks.
Oh, you mean if we ever,
but we're bonded? Like your pack bond?
That must be why Mooney can sense something, Sirius added thoughtfully. You're bonded to us, and we're bonded to him. She's pack now. I mean, sort of, Remus said with a confused look as he sat down by Lily. I feel much more protective than before. This is amazing. I wonder if this means that anyone else that's either born or marries into the family becomes a part of this.
Remus thoughtfully looked up at Maya, who smiled, knowing that he was referring to Harry. I'm a part of your pack? Lily smiled, emotion surfacing. And your family?
It was clear that she felt both sadness and relief. She had lost her own family that very day, only to be officially welcomed into another so quickly.
You always have been, Maya promised. Magic just happens to agree with us now.
Lily laughed and let out a relieved sigh, smiling through her tears.
I love magic.
April 1st, 1978.
What do you mean you lost the map?
Maya hadn't seen her brother this panicked since he thought he had accidentally misplaced his invisibility cloak their third year. She'd walked into the boys' room to see all four marauders tearing the place apart. The beds were practically dismantled as they searched in vain for the family heirloom. James practically crumpled to the floor in defeat, muttering,
Dad's gonna avada me,
over and over until Maya reminded him that he had let her borrow the cloak the day before to slip down to the kitchens in order to see if the elves would prepare something special for Sirius's birthday. But the map had not been lent out to Maya. It had been taken by Peter, who was now cowering in front of two of his friends, all of them grateful that Sirius was not there to take part in the scene.
I didn't mean to,
Peter insisted, looking terrified.
What the hell were you doing, Wormtail?
James demanded, eyes wide.
Why'd you even need it? We had no plans, no pranks, and we haven't had a reason to use the cloak in forever, since we know all the secret passageways.
I was sneaking out to see my girlfriend, Peter nervously stuttered his way through a poor explanation. Remus and James looked shocked at the revelation, but Maya only rolled her eyes.
You have a girlfriend?
Remus rose a confused brow.
Since when? Who the hell is she, and how come we've never met her? James snapped.
Because you... Peter swallowed.
You wouldn't understand. She's a Slytherin.
All three were shocked.
Remus and James over the fact that their friend was willingly dating a Slytherin, and Maya because she was shocked that any girl, Slytherin or not, was willing to date the rotten little rodent. Despite the fact that he was not exactly pure evil yet, Maya was still angry at him for spying on her and Remus having sex years earlier.
Pete, mate.
James put his hand on his friend's shoulder.
Who is she?
Her name's Iris, Peter frowned. She's a sixth year. Iris what? Maya inquired. James eyed his friend.
What's her last name, Wormtail?
Mulsilber.
Oh, Merlin. Maya rolled her eyes and walked away from the scene for a moment as her brother officially lost control.
Mulsilber!
James howled, throwing his hands in the air in exasperation.
You're dating Mulsilber's little sister. Have you completely lost the plot?
Remus stared at Wormtail, looking completely gobsmacked.
Mate, you fancied Mary for years. Don't you remember what Mulsilber did to her in fifth year?
Who's Mulsilber?
He's one of the Death Eaters.
Oh.
He cursed Mary at one point.
Oh, okay.
Iris isn't bad, Peter insisted. She's nothing like her brother. I swear it, on my life.
So you sneaked out to see Iris Mulsilber. Remus shook his head, still in shock.
And then? Got caught by Filch,
Peter nodded, frowning as he shoved his hands into the pockets of his robes, looking properly shamed for his actions.
He saw the map hanging out of my robes and snatched it right up.
All right. James returned from a brief stint of pacing back and forth, now looking determined.
We can just have Sirius use his penknife to break in and take it back.
It wouldn't be the first time they had broken into the caretaker's office. Knowing the Marauders, Maya assumed it would not be the last. No, Maya insisted. James turned and glared at her.
What do you mean, no?
I mean, first, you cannot let Sirius know why Peter actually lost the map. If he finds out that Peter's dating a Slytherin, let alone Mulsilber's sister, you might as well tell him that you're dating Snape. He'll lose it, she said, staring at the looks of agreement on James and Remus's faces, particularly enjoying the expression of terror on Peter's at the thought of facing an enraged Sirius Black. A part of Maya really wanted to let her boyfriend dismantle the rat piece by piece, but she knew that the map needed to stay in Filch's office, and Sirius would go back for it no matter what he did to Peter Pryor. Secondly, it's time to let the map go.
Go? James gaped. Go where?
We're graduating soon, and we won't need the map anymore. I say leave it in Filch's office. Let some new student break in and steal it from him. Pass it down. A Marauder heirloom. Oddly, James looked amused at the thought.
Something we created being passed down through future Marauder generations. Pranksters who are all too eager to evade Filch, prefects, and professors alike. What if no one ever gets it back from Filch?
Remus asked. Then they aren't deserving of it, Maya smirked, and both James and Remus smiled in agreement.
Pete, mate, James sighed, looking at his short friend. You are so lucky that my sister's looking out for you.
He laughed and ignored the scathing look that Maya gave him. She was most certainly not looking out for Peter. She was looking out for the rest of them. Peter getting out of this scot-free was merely an unfortunate side effect. Peter offered up a smile.
Thank you, Maya.
Don't thank me, she insisted. Just keep an eye on your little snake. Don't even think about agreeing to meet her family. I'm not exactly one to talk, considering I'm dating Sirius, but you know what Mulsilber is, Peter. Iris may be okay, but her family is decidedly not.
I understand. I'll be careful. I'm really sorry for losing the map,
Peter reiterated to James as they headed back towards Gryffindor Tower, while Maya tried to think of a way to explain to Sirius why the map was no longer in their possession.
We all make mistakes, mate,
James sighed, trying to focus on the silver lining.
Besides, Maya's right. It's not like we can use the map once we all leave. It belongs to future Marauders.
What day is it? Maya asked thoughtfully.
1st of April, Remus replied. Why?
She grinned. Just curious. Happy birthday, Fred and George.
Yeah,
And that's the chapter. Holy fucking shit, that was a long one. And I feel like we say this, it's probably going to be like a normally lengthed episode.
Whoa.
But,
yes.
Well, given that it is the end of May, it's time to give one final thank you to our May Patreon. We'd like to thank our foxes, Jade, Jackie, Becky, Rebecca, Muggle Trucker, Camille, Rachel, Carissa, Sandra, Leanne, Cassie, Michelle, Amber, Ryder, Ash, Ryland, Crystal, Olivia, Laura, Heather, Sarah, Chelsea, Sylvia, Sarah, Audrey, Emma, Claire, Amara, Jenny Floor, Roshan, Lynn, Melissa, Jillian, Shelby, Hannah, Tori, Amanda, Nevi, Hannah, Shannon, Paige, Sarah, Martina, Samantha, Kenny, Dan, Miriam, Kara, Cara, Michelle, and Frau Holly. It's the end of May, which means the end of spring, which means it is almost summer. Some of you are very excited about that. The rest of us all want to know what kind of fucking freaks you are because summer is hell and it is hot and I hate it. And Hannah Beth is one of those people and I hate her already. I say that because she was making a weird smiling face at me. But in Kat and Maya's defense, we grew up in South Florida where the summers are essentially January is winter. The first 2 weeks of January are winter. And then we have about 2 weeks of spring and then we have summer. And then we have additional summer. And then we have hurricane season. And then we have alligator death summer. And then we have rain with lots of wind. And then the cycle starts all over again.
And it's hot AF.
It is hot AF.
But I live in Texas. It's hot as fuck here, too.
Yeah, fuck Texas.
But I like the heat, so.
Fuck Texas.
I may be eating those words when it's hot and I'm pregnant, so...
You will.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think my new favorite fight is when we first moved in together, I was constantly freezing in the house and Jimmy was like, I'm not turning the heat up any higher than 60. You can put on more sweatshirts in the winter. And now it's, why is our house so cold? It's fucking 72 degrees. I'm sweating. And he's like, it's freezing. So my husband turned into a temperature wuss for some reason, half, like 2 years into our marriage. And I'm not thrilled about it. But anyway, without further ado, we will see you next. Did Kat forget what our fucking sign-off is?
What is the password to this thing? Okay, say that one more time.
What are you signing into?
To freaking put the recording in the Google Drive and it keeps telling me the password is wrong.
I'll send you the password in just a minute. We will see you next.
Fire Whiskey Friday.
Hatcha.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Fire, Whiskey, and Honey.
A special thank you to Shyalani for allowing us to read your story.
And thank you to Blue Ivy Creations for creating our logo and Hannah Beth for editing our episodes.
You can find us on Instagram at FWHpod.
And on Twitter at FWHpodcast.
And on our website, FWHpod.com.
If you enjoy this podcast and would like to support and get extra content, please support us on Patreon and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you to those who support us already. We wouldn't be here without you.
See you next Fire Whiskey Friday.